Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real. So I appeared on Adam Taggart's Thoughtful Money Conference, which is going to air this weekend. But for those who do not have access to that conference, I'd like to give you a summary of what I spoke about on this podcast. And so here we go. So I started off by talking about the idea that we have achieved some nirvana in the economy and the soft landing is guaranteed and that a new bull market is about to begin is absurd. It's risible. The idea that you can get growth, sustainable growth, just because governments around the world decided to stimulate, but that means enter into another round of borrowing money, is ridiculous. Government stimulus creates three things. Government stimulus creates inflation, it adds on to the debt, and it kills productivity. In other words, it kills half of what causes GDP to grow. Half of GDP growth is productivity growth. The other half is workforce growth. So half of it is destroyed when government creates inflation by adding on to borrowing. That's more debt that has to be monetized by the Fed, which causes the middle class to go bankrupt, which kills productivity, destroys the investment and savings dynamic. Now, of course, we had a global liquidity impulse, started off in China, and the Fed lowered rates by 50 basis points, and the European Union is cutting rates, so there's some liquidity added. And it's being offset, though, by the fact that the Fed is still doing quantitative tightening, and the fact that the real Fed funds rate is still positive 2%. So it's not just, the Fed is cutting interest rates by 50 basis points, so the Fed's put is here, and we have nothing to worry about. The last three times the Fed cut rates by 50 basis points, let's go back in time. 2020 was the last time they started that, and the stock market was down 35% in a few weeks. Okay, that was COVID. I got it. 2007, they cut rates by 50 basis points, and I heard in the financial media that the Fed has got you back. Real estate market's fine, and there is no recession. That kind of blather went on for about a year. However, a year after that, the stock market fell apart, and we were down 50% about a year and a half. Later, in 2001, the Fed cut by 50 basis points to make sure the recession wasn't deep. And guess what? We were down 50% 2 years after. And the reason why I'm not too sanguine about stocks right now, and there are many reasons why, is that I believe the next catalyst for the recession and chaos in markets is going to be chaos in credit markets. And I've talked about that. I wrote a book about this in 2013. We have an adjustable rate mortgage on U.S. debt. That's what we have. We finance all our debt on at very short-term T-bill instruments, very short duration. And if you have that, what you have is like an adjustable rate mortgage, as I said, on your debt. We have insolvency conditions, we have inflation conditions, and illiquidity conditions. And the fuse is lit on long-term rates to skyrocket because of that. So let's just talk about insolvency first. We have $2 trillion deficits, 6% of GDP in peacetime, never happened before, $1 trillion interest payments. The national debt is 125% GDP, debt to GDP, $36 trillion in debt. It's 720% of our revenue. We're going to add a minimum of $22 trillion in new debt to the existing $36 trillion over the next 10 years. That is if there's no recession, and if there's no inflation that brings interest rates higher, and if Kamala Harris doesn't get elected and buys everybody a house. $22 trillion. That's if everything is perfect. That's number one reason why the government is insolvent and getting more so. We just can't afford the debt without the Fed printing money. And that leads us right to inflation. Is that the rate of change of inflation that's important right now? Yes, it's down from 9 to 2.5. It's the level of inflation. And the fact that inflation is going higher, it's rising at all, is just salt in the wound. Now, the Fed panicked with 50 basis point rate cuts are just adding to the inflation fears. The Fed cut 50 basis points, even though they've spent 43 months above the inflation target of 2%. They cut rates even though GDP is 3%, supposedly growing at 3%. They cut rates even though the unemployment rate was 4.1%, below the average of 5.7%. The reason why they cut interest rates is because they're worried about keeping Janet Yellen in business. They need to get the interest payments on the debt down below $1 trillion, which is where it is right now. And the fact that inflation is such a problem can be evidenced in the fact that 50% of Americans have less than $500 in the bank. Less than $500. Half of Americans have no net worth. And 70% are living paycheck to paycheck. And that's made much worse over the last few years because inflation. The incomes just have not kept up with inflation. And that's why U.S. consumer delinquency fears are the highest since April of 2020. And they've up for 4 months in a row. So you have illiquidity, you have inflation, you've got insolvency, and you have illiquidity. And illiquidity comes from the fact that the reverse repo facility that was once $2.5 trillion a couple of years ago is down to $280 billion. The free money going into the bond market, keeping rates low, and keeping the stock market in business is pretty much dry. It's out. And that's why Powell's plans are backfiring. The current rate cutting cycle started with the effective Fed funds rate at 5.3%. The 10-year note was at 3.6%, not 5% like it usually has been. The benchmark Treasury rate has gone from 3.6% to 4.1%. Two-year yields have jumped from 3.5% to 4%. 30-year fixed mortgage rates are up by 50 basis points. Since the Fed cut rates, that's over 50 basis points. So housing is in big trouble here. It's the other bubble. There's three bubbles. There's a credit bubble. There's an equity bubble. There's a housing bubble. And all those three things get much worse because of the illiquidity and the inflation and the insolvency. So rates, normally rates should be going down when the Fed's cutting rates. Exact opposite is happening. Powell's plans are backfiring. And 40% of small cap companies are zombies. So they have to keep floating out this debt at much higher rates. And bank assets are primarily commercial mortgage-backed securities and residential mortgage-backed securities. They are deteriorating as interest rates rise. And the financial system is very leveraged. We have hedge fund leverage is at a record high. Assets, stock, you know, the assets of households allocated to stocks are at a record high. The total non-financial debt to GDP is near a record high. We have exploding debt in private credit. Leveraged loan markets have exploded. Record allocation to stocks, as I just mentioned. Real estate, equities, and bond values get hurt by higher treasury yields. So it all comes down to this. It comes down to credit spreads, financial conditions, and employment. And I mentioned last week that there were actually 458,000 jobs lost in the private sector, according to the unadjusted figures. Government is adding jobs, 45,000 jobs each month. And the Fed is making stupid decisions in arrears after the fact based on faulty data. Unemployment rate is rising, defaults and delinquencies are rising, and these are secular trends. And even if I'm wrong, ladies and gentlemen, even if I'm wrong about the recession, while we're waiting, we're making money, so this is irrelevant. But maybe it's not so irrelevant. It's irrelevant now because, you know, you're talking about recession for a long time, Michael. It isn't coming. But we're making money while we're waiting. That's the most important thing. But recession or not, and I think there's going to be one, caused by the credit collapse. But even if there isn't a recession, there's no chance the S&P 500 earnings are going to grow by 15%, not with nominal GDP at 4 or 5%. And you're trading at 21 times this fictitious 15% earnings. So it can't be the beginning of the bull market. Bull markets cannot begin when stocks are 200% of GDP. So turning to the portfolio really quickly, as you can hear in my voice, I have been sick for the last day or so. So wrapping this up, we have a brief sojourn, into sector four. And that's not going to last long. Sector four is reflation, which is the reason why I took on silver as an allocation. Credit market chaos is highly probable to occur in the near future. So while we remain long equities in the right sectors, which is a little bit of sector two and a little bit of sector four, we are myopically, again, if you're not familiar, sector two is disinflation and sector four is reflation. We remain long equities in the right sectors, that mix, unusual mix, I agree, but it's the right mix right now. But we are myopically focused on financial conditions and credit spreads for our early warning signal for when to lock in our gains and profit and try to profit from the inevitable grand reconciliation of asset prices to occur. It's not so, you know, it's not just trying to make money while we wait for this grand reconciliation. You have to try to capitalize on what I could see is between 30, maybe 50% plus downside in equities. That could happen. It should happen. It's called mean reversion. And the catalyst could be credit markets. And there might not be anything Powell or anyone else can do to stop it. I mean, all the government can do is print money and borrow money. That doesn't help you very much when you have an inflation problem and an insolvency problem and an illiquidity problem. It might supply liquidity, but it vastly exacerbates the insolvency and the inflation issue. So I wouldn't be so sanguine on the fact that the Fed could just come and make it all okay by buying all of the bonds, because you'll have a massive battle with stagflation, which is what I'm forecasting. And there's a special set of investments that you need to own. The allocation is different than what we have today. We're not there yet, but I think we could be headed there. Stagflation and real investment returns plummeting. But you have to at least have the right allocation to make sure that your investments provide a real rate of return. So owning bond and bond proxies in stagflation is a disaster. Now, the recession has been long delayed due to excess COVID money printing, $5 trillion of money printing, $6 trillion of borrowing, helicopter money. But that is now gone. And I talked about the evidence of the reverse repo facility. For all intents and purposes, it's been depleted. So if I'm correct, the chaos in the bond market, which has already begun. I mean, this could just be the overture to the chaos in the bond market. The time to let down your guard is not now. And at PPS, we remain on full alert.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.